Blog Talk Radio.
A good evening. Do not attempt to adjust your radio. There is nothing wrong. We have taken control as to bring you this special show.
Greetings, 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 and good evening, good morning, wherever you are in the world, tuning in to Calendar Truth on Now Time Radio. This is your host, Makua Ray, with my partner, Ruben Yinas, in Bogota, Colombia. What's happening, brother?
Hey, blessings, Brother Makua. Thank you so much for having the energy to bring this show into manifestation, because it's been a really, really intense couple of weeks, and we have been
indeed
all feeling the pressure. And so every time that we make this commitment to keep going with the show and to try to bring some light from a different perspective into the current planetary situation, we are kind of moving into the right direction. So sometimes
we're quite
intense. Yeah, it's quite intense to witness all the events, but at the same time, being able to have this live interaction and put a good message out there so that people can understand what is going on, why we have these moods changing.
Right.
We are we are right now at a very, very important alignment in terms of the planets. The moon was rising with Venus this morning. We have lyric showers and a geomagnetic storm, and it was Earth Day and the Science March. So it's just all this happening at the same time, and
all
that
at once.
can bring a lot of the emotions to the surface. And it's really important to have the time to acknowledge what is going on from a different perspective, a more elevated view, so that we can transmute and process all these events that are happening in the world scene. We spoke last
That's
show
right.
About that every time that we have a new show, a lot has happened, and this time was probably the time that we have noticed it the most, because of the proximity. In my case, we are here in Colombia. Our neighbors in Venezuela are going through a really, really hard time, and
yes.
I met so many people from Venezuela in Miami and in the U.S. that I have a really strong connection with that community. So I am sending them all my telepathic support and understanding. I can't even imagine what is to be in the situation that they are right now, because we are witnessing more polarization and more explosive behaviors happening. So this time of the day and after Sunday is a really good time to really let everything sink in and see if we can start the week with a more optimistic perspective or vision of what is ahead of us in the coming
That's right.
weeks and the coming months.
Absolutely. Well, you definitely jumped right in some of the enormity of the energy, as you mentioned, some of the challenges that people are facing right now in the global community with things happening in Latin America. I wanted to reflect on people that we opened the show with a special song, a song that I actually co-wrote and produced called Earth Day Every Day, because, we come around this annual celebration, April 22nd, for Earth Day, and yet we want to also inspire people to appreciate the fact that we have this planet, we have this wonderful home of this planet that we can celebrate every day and not just make it some kind of static holiday annually, but to actually take this consciousness into our everyday experience. So yesterday, as you mentioned, was the global celebration of Earth Day. I think it's very significant for us because people may or may not know that the founder of the Earth Day idea was none other than Jose Arguelles, when he was a professor, an art professor, at University of California, Davis campus. And the whole Earth Festival began in the year 1969 when an art class taught by Jose held an art happening event on the campus at Davis. And then, I guess in the year to follow, the United Nations made a declaration of Earth Day in 1970, and the second art happening took place in 71. It was actually renamed the Whole Earth, and the Whole Earth Festival then became sponsored by the student organization there, Students Experimental College, a sponsored event, and it's evolved over the many decades into now what we know has inspired Earth Day events around the world. So we're all coming from the activities of the past couple of days here in Washington, D.C., where I happen to be located. As you mentioned also, there was the Scientists March happening here, which was a very largely attended event yesterday. Very, very large. To really give a platform for the presence and purpose and advocacy for science. And the fact that we are facing, you know, a planetary challenge when we consider the climate, when we consider some of the aspects that we're being forced to look at, whether through changing weather patterns or through the politicization of the issue, the polarization that's happening there, because it's unfortunate, but Earth has now become sort of a political issue. Mm-hmm. You know, the fact mm-hmm. that we don't more readily appreciate Earth as our home. We're looking at Earth as leverage in some ways, political leverage. And I think that we definitely have got it wrong there, unfortunately. But I want to play a little bit of footage in the show as we go on. Some words in Jose Arguez's own voice. Even though he passed away in the year 2011, his message resonates true today more than ever. And I think that's one of the testaments to the power and the purpose and the essence of his role in many ways, and why you and I and thousands of others, even dare say millions of others, have been touched and inspired by his work directly or indirectly. So, I mean, the fact that we're all celebrating Earth Day is attributed to him in many ways. I think that's something we don't want to necessarily neglect to acknowledge, especially as we consider, you know, what benefit changing the calendar can have on consciousness. We'll get into some of that a little bit in the show. As I said, though, the song that everybody just heard is Earth Day Every Day, featuring the vocalist Purple Crown, good friend of mine, Taj, from Atlanta, as well as my co-writing friend, Zakai Free. So I just wanted to share that special intention of celebrating Earth Day every day as we move forward in this show. So, yeah, and you've, you know, helped highlight some of the other interesting challenges and the fact that by having this show every 14 days, we give ourselves a chance to reflect and try to catch up with everything that's transpired in the days before. Because so much has happened at such a fast pace now. We're jumping, you know, all the issues we've been experiencing here with the current administration and their sort of recklessness. And then we're looking now at the global scope. We're looking today at the elections in France. We're looking at the conflicts in Venezuela. All of these things are part of the same challenge, I would say.
Yes.
A challenge to either choose to go with the flow of evolving consciousness or to resist it. I think that that's kind of summing it up to some degree. You have the takers and the leavers, as it's explained in the book, The Story of Bee, which is a powerful book that looks at, you know, some of what we're dealing with now. It's, even though it fictionalizes the issue is nonetheless very real. It's very nonfiction when we consider what we're up against and the choice point that we're facing. So, you know, with that said, I know we have a lot of things to move through in the show tonight. We want to share some perspectives from some different voices. I also want to acknowledge, as we've been acknowledging in the show, we're dealing with the seven key facts of the Calendar Referendum 2020, the initiative, CRI, Calendar Referendum Initiative 2020. And we've basically put it in context of seven key facts. And tonight we're dealing with fact number three. And I'm very excited about the audio that we have to share a little bit later on to support this fact. So powerful what Jose laid out as a framework in terms of understanding and comprehension of the challenge of artificial timing. We still, this Gregorian calendar, we're dealing with artificial timing now institutionalized over 400 years worth of eventually being established. Now, it rings very resonant for me when you hear the woman running for president in France talk about the benefits of colonization. That's a worry, because that kind of hardline sort of perspective is very reflective of what we see having taken form in Great Britain in the past year, what we see having taken form in the United States in the past year. So some of these perspectives are so antiquated, so inappropriate for our shared reality, not just a single-sided reality that will benefit but a few or a particular ethnicity, but when we look at our shared reality, coming to terms with the fact that everything is interconnected, at some point we're going to have to get up to speed as a human society in agreement that, you know, we're all connected. And it just it seems so simple, yet at the same time it's become complex because I'll even say the timing that we base our activities in has stunted our growth. And so unless we're actually taking the effort to shift our consciousness, we're not going to necessarily have the ability to even wrap our minds around the possibility of what it means to be interconnected. So it's an interesting challenge we face there.
Yes, and it goes hand in hand with what we have been saying, that the calendar is a program. And this a very similar situation was happening exactly 84 years ago. And we discussed on the first key fact that this Gregorian calendar runs in rounds of 28 years. So the events that happened 28 years ago tend to reflect in the present. And it was in 1933, three cycles of 28 years ago, that the Nazi rise to power in Germany, and we have this big schism in history, which we know what happened after that rise of the far right in Germany, and we had a Second World War, and we don't want to repeat history. That's the most important thing. We don't want to repeat the program, and I think that what Jose has to say about this tonight in from that clip of 2007. An interview is a message that you will said it. It resonates still today, because we cannot allow people with these dangerous toys to keep playing these games. Because especially with the sort of energy that are moving right now, so much polarization, it is so easy to get a snap. And we already got a little. I'm reflecting on the show today. I was thinking about this shock dynamic that is happening. That we last week, which was supposed to be the Holy Week in the Gregorian calendar, was one of the most violent weeks, probably the most violent weeks of the year. In which what is supposed to be a time for rest and for family and for prayer became an opportunity for military strikes and the mother of all bombs. And I think that gives you like a reference point of how distorted this paradigm around time that we are running in. Because we are actually during the last show, we were speaking about the fact that Easter is a holiday or a special time of the year that is designated by the Gregorian calendar. The priest class is the one who decides when and how the process to determine the Easter day is used, or what sort of calculation is used to determine this holy time. So it is really paradoxical that during the most holy time of the year we had so much violence, and we are dealing this week with the ripple effect of what happened during that week. And it was your birthday, so happy birthday. And
ironically, I was born on Easter Sunday in the year of my birth. Which is interesting, because it won't show up on Easter until I'm like in my 70s or something. So it's pretty weird. But like you're saying, I mean, it's kind of arbitrary how they decide that that's determined. I mean, it has to do more with where the first Sunday following the full moon or something. I don't actually know the science for determining that, but I do understand it's actually astrological in terms of how they orient when Easter Sunday is celebrated. So that's very interesting. But I think it's also interesting that we're celebrating something that historically, at least in terms of the understanding of the story, was probably the most dynamic social political revolutionary scenario, with the crucifixion of the one person who abjectly opposed the church, the government, any forces or powers that be that were not taking into consideration the, you know, the rights of the people.
Yeah.
The poor people. The people of God, yes. If you will. So it's kind of an interesting mm-hmm. thing, and we're seeing now, you know, the celebration of the concretization of the legacy of Jesus, the Christ, mm-hmm. as sort of played out now over a couple of thousand years. And in a way, it does not surprise me that there is such an emerging violence coming out of it, because it was extremely violent when it happened. I mean, yeah. It was coming out of a period of time of incredible violence. So the persecution visited upon that one person, if you will, or personage in God in person, or however you mm-hmm. want to interpret that, is mm-hmm. something that's carried over from the times of the Roman Empire to today. Some people would yes. even give the interpretation that the Roman Empire then later became the modern Babylonian Empire that we now know mm-hmm. of as the United States of America, and its yes. imperial sort of relationship to the world. Even though they don't yeah. call it an imperial power, it really is, because the United States is born of the conquest of colonization out of Europe. And in yes. some ways, then Europe kind of washed its hands clean of it in the past 50 to 75 years. But the fact of the matter is that stepchild called the United States has been doing a lot of activity all over the world to spark conflict in various nations. Wherever the United States is called in to have a support role, we have to understand clearly that they're going to do it because there's an agenda and there's something of benefit in it for them. If there's no benefit to the imperial power of the United States, there's mm-hmm. not usually going to be any actual response.
Yes.
You know, looking at, for example, the conflict in Syria, there's really mm-hmm. been no response to Syria for so long, because mm-hmm. there was really no benefit to the United States to respond. And I mean, obviously, then the threat of responding in Syria means you're going to rile the ire of Russia or other, proponents of Syria, people who've propped up, the government there. But the fact of the matter is, it's just really such an entrenched situation worldwide that
yes.
one way or another, either through our conscious evolution or through our de-evolution and annihilation, we're going to mm-hmm. recognize that we're interconnected, period.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The whole point of this time is to actually find inspiration and capacity in the fact that we're interconnected. And I want to speak to people out there right now who may be feeling a little bit powerless, a little bit impotent in terms of what can we do? Because people may be thinking, well, there's so many things happening. There's so much happening. It's like emotionally we're totally disheveled. We're totally confused because it's happening at such a rapid pace. You can't even mm-hmm. recover from mm-hmm. one instance to the next. Mm-hmm. It's happening at such a fever pitch. But we have to understand that's going to happen in this time. So for mm-hmm. people who are mm-hmm. beginning to wake up and beginning to accept that sometimes it's darkest before the dawn, so to speak, that, you know, we cannot allow ourselves to become dismayed by the appearance or appearance of wars or rumors of wars, as it's even inscribed in the biblical texts, that in this mm-hmm. time there will be wars, rumors of wars. That's exactly what we're dealing with right now when we listen to the news mm-hmm. media. Are we going yeah. to go to war with North Korea and the United States? Are we going to go to war with Syria? Is there going to be conflict mm-hmm. in Venezuela? Is the United States mm-hmm. going to intervene? Is there going to be some destabilization in Colombia? Is there going to be, you know, further isolation in Europe, you know, which we saw with Great Britain earlier, and now France is teetering at the brink of that possibility based upon who they elect to be their next president. I mean, all these things are happening at once. And so I just want to invite people to pause, take a step back, and practice a bit of detachment, only because these things are going to rise and they're going to pass. At the end of the day, just as at the beginning of the day, we're all still connected. And we cannot neglect to remember that, because ultimately, your thoughts are the most powerful thing you have. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts, if they move into a sense of depression or a sense of disconnection, then it's likely that you're not able to see the possibilities. But by getting a proper vantage on the world stage and understanding it as one large entity, we have to see it as a connection. We have to see it as people perceived the planet Earth when we saw those first images of the whole Earth, which inspired Arguez to even promote the Whole Earth Festival through his art classes at University of California, Davis. I mean, there's so much instructive information in the legacy that we have the honor of helping to perpetuate that hopefully it allows us to find heart and courage at these most important times when we need it the most. You know, this is such a such a volatile time. So we want to make sure that we're not feeding the volatility more, but we're also not ignoring the volatility. We want to observe what's happening, but also observe it with a fair bit of love and understanding that our thoughts actually will impact what happens next. So that's I just want to say that to people, because it's important that people recognize that there is something you can do. It's not all lost. And to get a little bit more deeply into the conversation, because we are a show about calendar reform. We are focused on a solution in that we have been using a false timing calendar. This artificial timing frequency of the calendar disconnects us from nature in consciousness. Mm-hmm. And therefore, where the mind goes, the body surely follows. So we're disconnected from nature. We have not known that. We were in many ways bamboozled, is the word that comes to mind. Mm-hmm. We were tricked into thinking that this was actually a great order that we're supposed to. I mean, the fact of the matter is, if the world people move into their collective memory, they'll remember there was nothing fun about being exposed to the Gregorian calendar. It did not happen in a fun way. It happened through violence and force. On a scale we don't even know today. It was on a scale we can't even imagine today. The legacy of colonization was so disrespectful and in disregard to the Earth, Earth's children, the original people. We can't even wrap our minds around how enormous and how intense that campaign of domination how intense it has been and still continues to be. It's just much more subtle now. That's the problem. So a lot of what we're dealing with is institutional colonization, institutional domination, which at that point, by the time it becomes institutionalized, it's many generations in. So our job with this program, Calendar Truth, is to deconstruct the calendar and therefore decolonize our minds. And I want to reflect on these key facts that lead us up to today. We're in fact number three, but fact number one that we started with a few weeks ago, number one, the calendar is the operational system of civilization. You mentioned that at the top. Number two, our current calendar is not a practical tool to measure the most basic cycles of time, the most basic cycles of time. And then today, we go a little more deeply into this conversation, the calendar is the most fundamental organizing principle of an advanced society. The calendar is the most fundamental organizing principle of an advanced society. I want to read a little bit here, too, for folks. And they can follow along if they go to our website, 13months28days.info, under the menu item 7 Key Facts. You'll see the 7 Key Facts. We lay them out there. Again, 13months28days.info, 7 Key Facts. Key number 3. There is just one way to have a lunar solar calendar. The moon revolves around Earth 13 times during the time Earth revolves around the sun once. Let me say that again. There is just one way to have a lunar solar calendar. The moon revolves around Earth 13 times during the time Earth revolves around the sun just once. Therefore, to have a lunar solar calendar, we need 13 months per year, not 12. There is just one way to establish a lunar solar society and coordinate its activities according to the natural timing of the moon and the sun both at once. 13 equal months of 4 weeks is exactly the same as 52 equal weeks of 7 days. 13 equal months of 4 weeks is exactly the same as 52 equal weeks of 7 days. And this is exactly the same as 13 equal months of 28 days. Hence the name of our website, 13months28days.info. This 13 times 28-day matrix can also be divided into equal parts as 4-quarter years of 91 days each. 91 days is 13 weeks of 7 days. 52 equals 13 times 4. And this is the key. We have the opportunity to collectively use this simple truth and establish a new lunar solar society, directly leading to the minds and actions of our people being harmonized, which is the goal. We want to get into harmony here with this natural frequency on a 28-day biological standard. I want to say that 28-day biological standard. When we say 28 days, it's not arbitrary. It's actually our human biology. This is how incredible creation is. Mm-hmm. Everything is actually connected. So we're being harmonized on a 28-day biological standard in tune with the reality of our natural surroundings. I mean, how incredible is that? No matter what the establishment of a lunar society, a lunar solar society may mean to humanity in the biosphere, meaning the circle of life, it is clear that there is one way to coordinate and regulate society according to the actual natural timing of the moon and the sun both at once. And that way is 13 equal months of 4 weeks each. And that is key fact number 3. The calendar is the most fundamental organizing principle of an advanced society. Now, what's interesting is if this is the fundamental organizing principle of an advanced society, and as we're actually suggesting 13 months of 4 weeks each month is the basic equation, then we were advanced when our former societies were actually operating with this type of frequency and this type of understanding.
Yes. Yes.
The lunar solar society existed. So it is resonance. And it is also about resurrecting this actual framework. When we talk about resurrection and Easter and all these ideas, well, we need to resurrect the original timing standard, which is inherent to us as being human. It's not like this is a brand new idea. This idea has existed since time immemorial among cultures around the world. It's just that when we all basically came under the thumb and pressure and the violent aggression of colonization, that we were made to accept, forced to, you know, bow down to this idea of a 12-month calendar named after certain Roman emperors. Like, it's unbelievable. And here we are today. Yeah. Wondering why things are still out of control and only spiraling more out of control. And so part of it has to do with the fact that our minds are not even able to tune in and sink in to the reality of nature's timing, because we for whatever reason, became ignorant of it. It was beat out of us. It was brutalized out of us to understand or appreciate nature's timing. Instead, for want of not facing violence or facing death or facing the trauma of our families being harmed, we just decided to turn away and just go along with the program of the regime, as it were, for the past 400 years. And that's where we find ourselves today. So it's a very interesting time that we find ourselves, and we see a lot of it coming to a head.
Yes, and it's also worth mentioning when now that you brought the subject of decolonization and decolonization of the mind, that this information kind of also comes with a prophecy, with a type of mythological construct for us to give us a hint of what is happening. And this prophecy is the prophecy of the prophet, the Mexican prophet Quetzalcoatl, and the 13 heavens and 9 hells. It happens that according to Mayan prophecy, the 9 hells of this augmenting chaos since the conquest, since the colonization of the Spanish people in America, started with Cortes, who arrived to Yucatan on April 22nd, 1519. It was also a Good Friday. So that gives us like a clue of how we are now, after all these years, still in a country like France, who is supposed to promote the values of freedom and justice and equality, is actually catapulting a leader that talks about the advantages of colonization. So these parallels in history are fractals, and they are patterns that they repeat themselves over and over for us to be able to realize that, yeah, we have been bamboozled and we are playing a broken record of bad choices. Because we always have the choice, and the purpose of this show is also to keep that possibility open, to have more people feeling that this untried solution may be the root of a much bigger problem. And I think that when we play the audio, we will understand the perspective in terms of the context of why this idea is an evolutionary idea. It's for the betterment of our society and our civilization to start to tune in into natural time and tune out of artificial time. I was answering some questions, because this week people were asking questions on the page, and it's interesting all the perspectives that people have, because I understand that it's hard to perceive the impact that this idea can have now, because it seems, according to one of the people who commented, impractical. He could not find that this could be practical because no one else is following it. But the purpose is that it's basically a reconditioning process of our mind to a different frequency. It doesn't. That's the practical side comes with time. You start to see that by following a different standard. Your body you have a different experience of time. Your body reacts different. You are more peaceful because you are in training with this frequency that is pacing our bodies on a biological layer of the experience that we have here. Like everything, the time it takes for a baby to stay in the womb is also timed by this natural frequency. And we just need to tune in again. And part of retuning is just to follow the new matrix and have an overlay. You don't have to eliminate the Gregorian calendar.
Right.
You just need to try both. And
have a lens that will help you appreciate a different frequency and a possibility, because it's possible to actually support a shift, a transition. That's why we call it the transitional calendar. I want to encourage people to visit the website as well, 13months28days.info, and download a copy of a PDF version of the calendar we're referencing, so you can also follow along using the tools that we've created. I'd like to go ahead and play some of the audio that you're speaking about, where we can listen to Jose Arguelles of Alum Votan during an interview given in the year 2007 on a program, Bridging Heaven and Earth. And I think this is a clip from a larger segment, but I think, as you said, the clip gets right into contextualizing what we're facing and understanding that, yes, for many people, this is a foreign concept, and it crashes against the reality base that they've agreed to so far. And that base that we've generally agreed to as a collective consciousness accepts that domination is a rule, that violence is to be expected. But these ideas are actually against our human, our spirit, and not really a qualitative aspect of who we truly are. That's my own belief or my own consideration. But I certainly think that I'm not alone in knowing that not all is lost. So with that said, I want to go ahead and jump into some of this interview footage. I want to thank people for tuning in to Calendar Truth on NowTime Radio. And thank you for continuing to take this journey with us as we explore these seven key facts. When you have a chance, visit the website, 13months28days.info. If you'd like to call into the show, you are welcome to. We welcome your calls. 347-855-8448. 347-855-8448. Thank you again, and stay tuned with us.
You're tuned in to Calendar Truth on NowTime Radio.
Some time in the technosphere, I wrote that book right after the Twin Towers, you know. I thought about that, and then I realized what was going on, because I realized that this had a lot to do with 2012. And in time of the technosphere, I described the events of 9/11 as being the inevitable event. The inevitable event meaning that all the different forces of history, all the different that had been unresolved, all the different karmic forces, all the different programs that were locked up in the calendar that had, see, when we talk about this calendar, we have the clock. We were talking about the creation of an artificial timing frequency, and the human beings are operating by this artificial timing frequency, and because of that, they have extruded an artificial environment called the technosphere. Now, the technosphere lives at the expense of the biosphere. The biosphere is the natural environment of the living environment of the Earth. It's called the biosphere. So the technosphere is like this large cancer, this large parasite that lives at the expense of the biosphere. There's a certain point at which the biosphere can no longer sustain the technosphere.
Now, the technosphere isn't just technology. It's the way technology is used and our consciousness about technology.
Exactly. It's the whole web of what we might today call globalization, that state of consciousness of globalization, the consumerism, the whole of it. Okay, the technosphere includes, like, it's the commodities, it's the urban centers, it's the energy, it's the communication,
the separation,
the transport. Yeah, all that keeps everything going and creates further separation, further alienation of the human being from nature. All of that is the technosphere. The biosphere is the natural environment. At a certain point, there's a point at which the biosphere can no longer sustain the technosphere, and so that begins to collapse. The Twin Towers, the World Trade Center, was described in 1985 by scientists who study and define the biosphere as the hub of the technosphere. So when those towers went down, it doesn't matter whether it was actually terrorists or who did it, how it happened, why it happened. It happened. It happened. It inevitably happened. It was the nerve center, the pineal gland of the technosphere was taken out.
And the technosphere has to evolve if the planet's going to survive.
Well,
it has to evolve back into harmony.
It has to evolve back. And so that point, that puncture, that was a big puncturing of the technosphere. So now there's a lot of retrograde, you know, regressive action to try to maintain it. But it's not going to hold because the biosphere is in danger, the global warming, everything else. So what you're seeing is like the technosphere is slowly going to be coming down. It's not pretty, but it's coming down because it's not the truth. It's not natural. It's not the truth. It exists at the expense of the biosphere. It exists at the expense of the Amazonian rainforest. It exists at the expense of the different species and everything.
Right.
So it's inevitable. It's coming down. That's why this is called the end time. And it's coming down because we're headed to 2012. So the point is that, okay, we have to just say, hey, it's coming down. And no matter how many flags you fly, it's still coming down. So we're saying, instead of flying flags, let's see what else we can do. Let's see if we can do something about it, and the Mayan prophecies say, yes, you can do something about it. Just change your timing frequency, get back with the big universal evolutionary program. You just took a big detour from evolutionary mainstream. You caused yourself a lot of suffering, and some people might be well off from this, but a lot of other people are suffering more and more every day, and you're playing with very dangerous toys to protect the crumbling facade. That's all that's happening. The whole facade of civilization is just coming down. We want to defend it with bombs and wars and so on, but that's not all that's going to do is further the process of it coming down. It's all inevitable. So the point is, we have the opportunity. How many people in the world are for peace? And how many people in the world really are for war? If everyone in the world who exists in the world is for peace, could understand this point that we can all have peace if we unify and change the time and say, that's it. We're going into a new time. We're going from a time of war to a time of peace. We're going from a time of fear to a time of love. We're going from a time of chaos to a time of harmony. We're going to solve our problems ourselves, and we're going to enter a new time that is going to reorganize our mind, that's going to reorganize how we function in the world. It's going to reorganize our priorities. Rather than building more things, we want to repair the damage, rather than continuing to exploit and consume all the resources. We want to stop and begin to explore our mind. The human species at this point consumes more resources than it can replace and creates more waste than it can get rid of. That
sounds like a perfect...
Yeah, you're not going to get very far with
that's
that.
That's a beautiful balance.
Yeah.
But that's an equation everyone wants.
Yeah. So, you're going to run out pretty fast that way, and you're going to die in your own toxic waste on top of it. So the point is...
Wow, the dream come true.
The point is we can get out of that. We can get out of that, and we can be heroic. We can be heroic and say, we can stop this. Let's stop this.
Can't be Now for something completely different.
Change the calendar, change your mind, change the world.
So we love that inspiration there from Alesso featuring Tovolo, Heroes. Great selection, by the way, my friend. You recommended that song. I think it's so appropriate considering what Jose shared in that interview in 2007. You know, we can do something heroic. We can stop this. We can simply stop it. And one of the ways to stop it is to begin to actually make the decided choice personally that, you know what, this Gregorian timing, this Gregorian calendar is actually not appropriate. It's not appropriate for me as an individual or for those I love, and let me go ahead and stop using it as the dominant reference. I can reorient myself to nature's timing. I can reorient myself to the timing that's inherent in natural cycles, and that's what is afforded by using a 13-month, 28-day reference as opposed to the 12-month Gregorian civil standard. I mean, it's interesting when you look at the word civilization. You know, it's part of that same narrative of campaigning against or trying to somehow improve or innovate upon the savages, the people who were somehow lesser than, you know, but yet at the same time somehow lived in tune and had a different type of harmonic with their societies, with their communities, with their cultures. They weren't running the risk of consuming more of the natural world than they could actually replace. They were living with a conscious understanding of being interrelated to nature. And I think that that's something that's so interesting as we look at the fact that here we take a day out of the year to celebrate Earth Day, but then we go back to our consumer habits, we go back to our bad behavior in many cases, and it just becomes sort of another holiday where, you know, we celebrate the holiday of Easter, where the gospel of Jesus Christ teaches us to love each other and to, you know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, this kind of thing. But yet, and still, the purveyors of violence, in some cases, in many cases themselves, happen to, you know, be based in the Christian doctrine. And they use the Christian doctrine to justify killing millions and millions of people. I mean, it's such a hypocrisy and inconsistency across the board. It's so interesting. But we have to have the courage to say, you know what, just stop it. You know, and it's not about forcing this idea on anybody else, because that's not the solution either, but just laying it out by living it yourself. I think, you know, for me, the benefit that I've experienced over these many years where I made a decision that my own standard, my own timing standard would be this harmonic standard. As soon as I learned and was able to conceive the impact that the Gregorian calendar had had on me, and began to appreciate the difference I felt by tuning myself into a different type of arrangement, by observing 13 months each year, 28 days each. When you begin to walk the 13 moons, as they say, you reconfigure your brain. It is undeniable. You have a different perspective that actually puts you on a pathway of, as Arguelles described, choosing love over fear, choosing harmony over chaos. I mean, it becomes something that actually guides you. And it's not like you have to exert any undue effort for that to be the case. It really is a matter of returning to something that's already inherent to you. We're talking about the biology of natural timing. We're talking about the biology of our systems and being in tune to a natural harmonic that's biological, essentially. Our bodies have 13 articulating joints that reflect movement, the movement of 13 months in an annual solar cycle. It's in our body. The 28 phalanges, the 28 flex points in our two hands, 14 in each hand, reflect 28 days. And that in some ways, when children are learning how to count, what do? They learn on their digits, their fingers. So as an advanced expression of understanding nature and appreciating the science of how our bodies are actually made, we can appreciate the fact that nature's timing is actually implied in our physical body. So when we say that it's a biological consequence, it's not just some, you know, some wishy-washy stuff here. It's actually a fact. It's something that is actually inherent to us. It's a part of us. is as much a part of us as is breathing. And as we begin to appreciate that and make this our guiding force, it rearranges our relationship with self, our relationship with other people, our relationship to global, local community issues and challenges, where we begin to see them in a different reflection, a different light. So we don't see them as something that we can't actually overcome, but we recognize there are challenges. We're not deluding ourselves here. We understand there are challenges, but we're also not subjecting ourselves to a depression that will render us inept of doing anything. The thing we can do is we can make the conscious choice to replace the Gregorian calendar as our dominant standard in our own personal lives. And as people begin to do that, the proof is in the pudding, so to speak. They will see the change in themselves, for themselves, if they commit to using this as a new lens through which to experience and perceive time. That's why I'm so committed to this, because I've actually had the direct experience of the benefit of shifting the lens. It's hard to explain to people. It's like I can't tell somebody the benefit of meditation by describing my experience to them. They themselves would have to actually meditate to know the experience themselves. I can't meditate for you. You have to meditate for yourself. And then we can actually share the wonder and the magic of meditation, which is amazing. But it's obviously something that we have to make the individual commitment to do, and that's what Arguelles is keying into there, that we can do something heroic. And that thing is to literally make the conscious choice to have a new timing standard in our lives.
Yes, and the personal choice is not that heroic, really. It's more the collective choice. And to reach that, we need a critical mass. And that's kind of the purpose of this show, is also to reach more and more individuals so that they can make that choice, and that little by little we add more people who can live in train with this frequency, like you read at the beginning of the key fact. The moon revolves 13 times around the Earth, while the Earth revolves around the Sun once. So that's basically a frequency that is influencing everything here, because it's like a cosmic clock. It's a clock created by nature, and we just need to retune to that frequency and start to witness the synchronicity aspect increase and see that everything really is more magical, in terms that you wish for something and it happens. So the idea is to see yesterday that it was Science March, and that this is a science based on something that is actually happening, which is these orbits. So we are tuning into a new paradigm of time that is far more expansive than we can think if we don't experience it. So if we don't try it, like you would have said it, we are not going to get the juice of it, because it's not happening through us. We need to... Jose Arguelles also used the term cosmic antennas. We are specially designed basically to tune into these cycles so that we can organize our lives in a much easier way. And that's why this matrix of 13 months of 28 days was also the favorite of the Chamber of Commerce, International Chamber of Commerce, during the 1933 campaign to change the calendar. So the benefits of tuning into this frequency and then maybe adopting it at your home, and that everyone follows that and see how that goes. And then if you have a small business, then you start to do your accounting with the 28 days and you start to see more harmony. There's so many aspects, untapped aspects of this tool, that we would need more shows to explore, really, because everyone is like a different area. Next show is going to be about the health, and I hope that we can have the presence of an important guest from that area of human science, which is medicine, who can speak about these effects into the human body, and that people really start to appreciate all the benefits that such a simple fact that can be heroic if we all do it, and if we come to this agreement that there is a fact happening in the sky, which is the 13 orbits of the moon around the earth, while we orbit the sun once, and really start to see that it was not that complicated, that this is really simple science. There's not much when you were reading the way that the year can be divided is very, very harmonic, very equal, and very easy to implement for projects, for agriculture, for exercise routine, for everything. So we launched this moon, the daily tune-up, with that purpose, with the purpose that people can really every day just tune in for 50 seconds and see if they start to notice some shifts happening. And finally, an important thing about what he said also, he mentioned doesn't matter how many flags we raise, and we are seeing the rise of nationalisms and the flags happening again, and this is really a matter of looking a way to unify around an important subject like this organizing principle, instead of focusing on the flags and the nationalisms and the use or the manipulation of that nationalism that at the beginning can be really good and that it can turn really bad, and to really go beyond that paradigm of nations and start to think about what would happen if we are going to reach other planets. We are talking about to go to Mars. Are we going to implement the same organizing principle there that we are using here? Can we see that as an opportunity to think what we have done wrong here that we don't want to keep doing wrong in other places? So it gives us also like a cosmic perspective of the subject that helps the mind to expand and to really appreciate the order and of nature and the cosmos in a whole different lens. So there's a lot to gain and very little to lose, really, by making this shift.
Absolutely. It does require a bit of effort. It requires the choice to say, hey, yeah, you know what? What we've been doing so far has not been working so well, evidently. So let's try something different. Let's try something that's untried. That's why we consider this the untried solution. While we're talking about Earth Day, I want to reflect also on what we've all experienced over the past year with Standing Rock and the fact that that continues to be a global movement that is inspiring activism and activation among indigenous communities. And I noticed an interesting interview that was posted on our Facebook page with Morgan Freeman in his TV series, Searching for God or something to that effect, but getting different interpretations from people around the world. And I saw some interesting commentary then also in response to that post on Facebook with, you know, some people who have their own lens and are insistent that their way is the only way or the right way or what have you, but later for that. But the point of the matter is I really appreciate that they actually took the effort to go and visit with Chief Arvel Looking Horse. And I want to say this, I bring this up in context of what we're doing, because as we speak of communities of people who inherently understand and practice a 13-month orientation. The Lakota, Dakota, Nakota are among them. Many other traditional groups as well. But this also sort of is happening as there's a resurgence, a resurrection, if you will, of indigenous wisdom happening. It's becoming more and more fervent. We're seeing the next generation of young leaders really taking up the mantle with the benefit of things like social media, with the benefit of the world community becoming more closely related through technology. We're able to witness this reemergence in real time, a lot like how we are doing this show. I wanted to play that interview, though, because I thought it was really fantastic that Morgan Freeman, with his eloquence and his presence, was really, really a student. You know, this he himself was an elder, but to go be an elder in company with another elder and to have the respect and regard for the ways of the Lakota, Nakota, Dakota people is so powerful and such an opportunity of learning and appreciation. Because, again, we're talking about Earth Day one day a year, whereas the community that Chief Arvo Looking Horse comes from, they see themselves as protectors of the earth, protectors of the water, protectors of our natural resources as part of their spiritual expression. So there's no, shall we say, disconnection between their spirituality and their relationship to the natural world. It's actually in union and therefore really, really powerful, very potent. So I'm going to go ahead and play a little bit of that interview because I thought it was so powerful, thought it was so appropriate as we're just coming out of this Earth Day observation. But like we played the song at the top of the show, Earth Day every day. That's really the emphasis here. Let's celebrate that every day. So with that, here's Morgan Freeman interviewing Chief Arvo Looking Horse with the story of the Sacred Pipe.
I'm on my way to meet a man who has been chosen to lead his people in an epic struggle, one that also requires superhuman endurance. He's asked me to come to Devil's Tower in Wyoming. This is Chief Arvo Looking Horse, the chosen one of the Nakota, Lakota, and Dakota tribes.
How cola? Mele weste.
Aha, weste. Wopula trunka.
I brought him a gift of tobacco for his sacred ceremony.
Oh, thank you.
So, Chief, tell me, why did you want me to meet you here at Devil's Tower?
We call it Mato Tipila.
Mato Tipila.
Ah, that's one of our power points of prayer, of worship. It's like a church. This is where White Buffalo Calf Woman brought the sacred pipe to our people. So the story is that 19 generations ago, our people were camped here. At the time, there was no more food because people were abusing life. From a distance, they saw a cloud. And then from that cloud, there's a woman. She brought that sacred pipe. She said, I'm bringing this sacred bundle to you, that you shall live in peace and harmony.
The White Buffalo Calf Woman taught Chief Arvo's people how to respect Mother Earth and worship the Great Spirit with the sacred pipe she gave them.
Does it still exist?
Yes. Since the age of 12 years old, I've been the keeper of the sacred White Buffalo Calf bundle or pipe. They call me Chanupa Awayanka.
Chanupa Awayanka.
Hear me yet.
The White Buffalo Calf Pipe is so sacred that Chief Arvo cannot let anyone outside his tribes see it.
So your grandmother was the keeper of the pipe.
Yeah.
She said that you were to be next in line.
Yes. My grandmother On her deathbed, she told my family, "We are at the crossroads. Earth changes, climate changes. And that if the people don't straighten up, then he shall be the last bundle keeper."
Well, I have to say that's a very stark prophecy from his grandmother, that if the people don't straighten up, that he'll be the last bundle keeper. And I've had the honor of meeting Chief Orville Looking Horse in person a couple of times. He's such a powerful presence, and you can feel the depth of his lineage that walks with him. You can feel the gentleness of him as well, in his interaction with the young people, his real appreciation for their future. So I get the feeling that there is yet the potential for our survival because there's been such a fervent interest among the next generation of young people who have taken up the mantle of honoring and protecting the earth. More than just parading around with this sentiment for Earth Day, it truly is a way of life for people who are connected to the earth. And I say what's interesting is, in contrast to the religion of colonizers, the religion or the approach of the dominating forces, there's a lack of humility. There's a lack of appreciation for the simplicity. There's all this pomp and circumstance, but really it's just a masquerade for violence, honestly. And we've come at a time where you can't pull the wool over people's eyes anymore. The veils have been dissolved, if you will, because we're at a time where these things have been revealed. And the true spirit, the intention of people, is shown to be what it is in their actions. Also in their non-action. Because people who sit on their hands in the face of these challenges, are not helpful either. I also don't necessarily think it's great help to embody the same type of aggravating reaction to the violence. That's not going to help either. But there is wisdom in praying for a change of heart among people. There is wisdom in understanding the power of the spirit world to be able to transmit, and as you said earlier in the show, sending telepathic energy to people who are hurting, people in Venezuela, people in Colombia, people, in France who are being challenged right now with a very important choice point, people throughout Europe, people in Jerusalem between the Palestinian and Israeli communities, people throughout the continent of Africa, who are facing grave challenges. And these challenges are not necessarily new. But the fact that we're able to actually have this conversation now, I think, is a testament to the fact that there is a shifting tide in consciousness. The loudest voice in the room will oftentimes seem to be the only voice. But there's so many people of power out here that I've met in the past year, just with the Standing Rock situation alone, the grandmothers, the many women who've taken up the mantle of protecting the mother, protecting the waters, protecting the sacred, that we cannot overlook this contingent of people, because these are the people who are actually making it possible that we are able to have a new day. One like Chief Arbor Looking Horse, with his grandmother's prophecy that if we don't change, he'll be the last bundle carrier. It's very similar to the prophecy of the Dalai Lama, who's saying that he sees himself as possibly the last Lama.
Yeah.
And that's informed by the fact that there's so much conflict, there's so much mistrust, there's so much inability. It's like, who are the people who can hold the frequency? And that's what we're challenged to do now. And that is why I do stand behind the idea that this calendar is part of our tools to be frequency carriers for the healing and the restoration that the souls and the spirits of people is actually crying out for. No matter what faith or tradition they may project or perpetuate, when you strip it all down, people essentially want the same things. What's happened, though, is through exacerbation and through ignoring the commonalities of our shared humanity, people have created these other monsters that really are phantoms and illusions, but they've become so real because we've given them undue energy. So reacting to these things in an undue fashion is not helpful. But actually taking a step back, having a chance to really observe the interconnection, I go back to what inspired Jose Arguelles to even found the first Whole Earth Festival, was the images from the Apollo mission of the whole Earth. Even though there's interpretations that say that wasn't real, the fact of the matter is, to consider in your consciousness that there's one Earth is an interesting perspective, and it has its own impact. You know, so whether that's a real or fabricated scenario really is immaterial to the fact that we're all connected. And if it took the fabrication of such an image to perpetuate something to become now known as Earth Day, now celebrated for, what, how many years? 47 years strong?
47.
I mean, that's 47 years this year, officially mandated by the UN, et cetera. I mean, it's a powerful consideration. We have to see this as an opportunity, because we can find all the reasons why we should divide ourselves and why this person should be wrong or that person should be right. But that's immaterial to the fact that we're all interconnected. And at some point, we're going to have to find the humility to accept these things. You know, whether it is, there's a statement that says you choose your change or your change will choose you. And if it comes to the fact of your change choosing you and sitting you down on your bum because you didn't want to make a choice that you could have made, you're probably not going to like what change brings about to make you make a difference and make a shift. And so that's why having the presence of mind and the humility to expand, to accept differing views is such an important thing right now more than ever. It doesn't mean you have to be right or wrong. It's not about that polarity consciousness. It's just not that simple. Even with the leadership in the United States, it's not that simple, you know, to put everything on the personage of this jackal called Trump, of this, you know, coyote, or this medicine, the trickster energy. He's a trickster, you know, and some people with a semblance of consciousness recognize that he is a great initiator. He's initiating people who otherwise wouldn't change.
Yes.
And they may consider themselves the most progressive people in the country. But the fact is, we always have room to grow. There's always more for us to more rough edges of ourselves to smooth. And so choosing our change is really, I think, what's before us now as the amazing opportunity that we have.
Yeah, and kind of also encapsulating what you just said, this moment of self-reflection from space, and we saw that we fit into a dime, and that was supposedly experienced by the astronauts, is this same perspective from which we are seeing the 13-month, 28-day matrix. We need to go and see ourselves from outer space and see what's happening. Because from here, from Earth, people get sometimes confused because if we measure, since this, people think that this is a lunar calendar, because we are measuring a cycle of full moon to full moon, which is not the 28-day cycle. The 28-day cycle is really the average between the synodic and the sidereal cycles of the moon. And the sidereal is seen from that perspective, from space. When we see what the moon is doing from space, it takes actually 13 orbits to orbit the Earth, while the Earth orbits the Sun once. So we need to gain that perspective to eliminate all these limits and borders and differences, because we are being trapped by that paradigm of seeing things from only from here. And also to finish the description of the prophecy of the Bible, it was interesting to see that the meeting took place at Devil's Tower, and that for the colonizer was the Devil's Tower, for them was a holy temple. So you start to see here the paradigms of the two views of the world, the disconnected and the connected one. And that's what we need to start to get more attuned to see that if we are going to make it through all this transition and all these challenging times, we need to start to see things from this elevated view. Otherwise, just we're going to fall for the trick of just seeing the separation of religion, color, sex, sexual orientation, social class, all the differences that we have, and now we would like more borders and more security. That's not really. We have been always the proponents here also that we need to build the bridges and not the walls. And I think that's an easy way to understand what is going on. But if we keep doing what we are doing right now, there's not. We are not moving into the right direction of seeing everything as one unity, but we are seeing as separate entities or nations or cultures.
Yes.
And it's so important also to see or experience all these emotions and all these situations with that perspective that there is a we can try a different way, and that way only takes a little bit more of perspective and a little bit more of balance, equality. That's what the 13 equal moons of 28 days are about, that we can train ourselves into what is balance and harmony.
Well, I tell you what, I'd like to, we have some valuable audio here also from Jose Arguez I'd like to play to take us out today. It's an interview he gave more recently, Can We Save the World? And I think it's very appropriate coming out of Earth Day to provide, again, some context for people. But I want to thank listeners around the world who tune into our show. We encourage you to continue to learn and study. Send us any questions, info@13months28days.info. Visit the website, 13months28days.info. Our Facebook page is Calendar Truth on Facebook. Visit that. Continue to bring your questions, your commentary, your arguments. Your disagreement is okay. We're not opposed, because ultimately we know that we're all connected. And that's really the important frequency that we maintain. That's our responsibility. So we appreciate all the views that people carry, and we appreciate the fact that we're all going through a dynamic transformation. So with that said, I want to thank you, Ruben, for always being devoted to this work. I want to thank our friends Uma and Janice and Mauricio and the many others who are involved in this work. I want to send a special shout out to those who are hurting today, just because what is happening is so painful in so many ways. So just understand that you're not alone, and that we do feel you. We appreciate what you may be experiencing, and we love and support you, you know, and I mean that in more than just words. So we really, really hold that frequency with you and appreciate you for your presence on the planet at this most important time. Thank you for choosing love over fear. Thank you for choosing harmony over chaos. And with that, I want to thank you again for tuning into Calendar Truth on Now Time Radio. We'll be here again in a couple of weeks, where we'll explore Fact 4. Be sure to check us out again at 13months28days.info. And with that, I want to close the episode with Jose Arguez, Volum Votan. Give thanks to one and all in Lakesh.
What's on many people's minds is the question, can we save the world, or does the world need saving? The question that we lead off with is, does the world need saving? That's a very interesting way of putting it. Most people say we want to go heal the world. Most people say we need to save the earth. But does the world need saving? The answer to that actually is yes and no. Insofar as the human species is a part of the world needs saving. It's the human species that needs to save itself from itself. The only cause of any problem, or even why the question would arise, does the world need saving, or can we save the world? The only reason that question would even arise is because of the human species, the crazy two-leggeds who have taken over the earth. The issue then really is, can the human beings stop themselves from destroying themselves as a key ingredient of the earth? Of course, we believe the answer is yes, we can do that. We can stop ourselves. We can keep ourselves from self-destruction. It may also be that the Creator has a plan that will keep the human beings from even getting to that point. The world in itself, the earth, Mother Earth. Mother Earth has taken care of herself for over 4 billion years. And I'm quite certain that Mother Earth will continue to take care of herself. She has survived meteorites, comets, any number of celestial perturbances that have struck her and changed her climate, volcanoes, everything else. The Earth doesn't need to be saved in that sense. The human species needs to save itself from itself. The Earth will go on. It has a spirit, it has an energy, and a truth far beyond what the petty mortal reasoning of the human race can conceive. How do we save ourselves? That's the real question. The next question, which is, I think, very much related to that, is world peace possible in our time? I have an emphatic yes to that question. I have felt that for many, many years, for most of my life. I've felt that peace is possible within our lives, within our lifetime. Most people would look around and say, it's absurd to think that. It's absurd to think that we could keep from destroying ourselves. How can we possibly do this? Well, the issue is, what makes man, what makes the human race distinct from the other species? Of course, we could say what makes us distinct is our ability to destroy, our violence, our inability to control ourselves, our capacity to spread all over the earth indiscriminately, our ability to create trash wherever we go. We could say, oh, that makes us distinct. But we can also say, what makes us distinct in actuality is that we have spirit, that we have a soul, that we have a soul essence, that we have consciousness, and that our consciousness can expand and be raised. And this is the point. If there is to be peace in our lifetime, it will be because we have a capacity in our consciousness to actually change ourselves and to change the world. The collective possibility of our consciousness as a unified, synchronized force has yet to be truly tapped. It is through the synchronization of a collective mass of consciousness that we can attain peace and that we can change the world. The great psychic Edgar Cayce once said that if the human consciousness were harnessed together as a force, it could actually change the activity of the sun. This is the truth. The sun affects our electromagnetic field. The electromagnetic affects our brain. Our brain can affect the electromagnetic field. We know that we live in a field of consciousness. We know that we live in a bioelectromagnetic field. And how we think and how we feel and how we do can change that whole field. There were studies that were being made by the Princeton University research group, as well as another organization called the Global Coherence Initiative, and they demonstrated that, for instance, at the 9/11, that there was a great spike in consciousness. Satellites actually detected a perturbance in the electromagnetic field, and that was due to the massive response in the human psyche to what was occurring at the 9/11. Even more interesting is that there was a spike in consciousness and in the electromagnetic field more than 20 minutes before that event, which demonstrated that there was some kind of intuition in the collective unconscious foreshadowing that occurrence. We know that the medicine men can make thunderstorms, can change the weather patterns. Well, the collective human consciousness can actually change the electromagnetic field of the Earth, the collective human consciousness as a synchronized force, can change the whole field of consciousness itself. This is very possible, and it's attainable in a very, very short period of time. All we need to do is to put out the word to create mass global synchronized meditations with this particular focused purpose, and we will be able to do it. We will be able to actually create peace and create miracles.
Change the calendar, change your mind, change the world.